Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live with your hosts, Jim and Sandy Young. Welcome, everyone. I am Reverend Sandy.
And I am Reverend Jim.
Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live. Our show is sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. For anyone interested, Jim and I do personal readings. And if you'd like to have a personal reading, you can call 304-567-3354 or email sandysangeltalk@aol.com. That's sandysangeltalk@aol.com. Welcome, everyone. I am Reverend Sandy, and welcome to Angel Talk. And Jim, you are here too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Our show today is Receiving for the Purpose of Sharing. How often do we ourselves receive blessings that we know are from God? And from that, how often do we give a portion of that blessing to someone in need? This is not just a kind gesture. It is God's law. So we thank you for joining us here on Angel Talk for another exciting radio show sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. A little prophecy here is, a greater spiritual awakening is being offered to you. Should you choose to accept this gift, the blessing of the Holy Spirit will pour into you and allow you to feel your connection in life to God and others. You will be shown a higher and purer way of living. This blessing will give you real purpose and direction in life. Your creative gifts shall be open for you to utilize in a giving and generous way to help others. Your service to those who need it will be made obvious. And if you should follow through, the blessings of God's love and light will flow so strongly through you that there will be no doubt you will feel it. When the Holy Spirit takes up your life, changes happen, miracles can happen, and you will know through the incredible loving energy that fills your body that you have been blessed. When you make a choice to follow God's ways and set aside selfishness and express selflessness, your life will change for the better, and more opportunities, creativity, and love will fill your life. It will push away the heaviness and anxiety, allowing you to feel freedom from the stresses of life. When you are living a life of oneness with God, all life, including nature, responds in a positive way to you. The emotional chaos that exists on the planet draws to it an energy that requires a realignment or lessons to people so it can return it to its original state, that of one, that is the love and light of God. Everything is all connected. If you wish for more love in your life, then you need to be more loving. By you being the example, it sets into motion energies that continue to expand outward and touch other people's lives and affect them. Know that every thought and emotion expressed has an effect on everyone. When we are blessing people and nature, it offers them growth and life force. And when we subject them to negative energies, it takes away from them their opportunities and life force. Know your power and always use it in a positive way. Then God will replenish it in tenfold. Blessings to you.
That was beautiful. You know, Sandy, it's amazing to me, as I look around the world, as I look around communities, people we know even, you know, there's so many people that profess to be Christians. And I don't doubt that in their hearts they believe truly that they are. But, you know, maybe it's because many were never taught. You know, I've had people tell me, well, when we went to church, you know, we listened to the sermon and nobody explained it. It was just what it was. And, you know, too many people are left behind that way. You know, there's a responsibility that comes with being a Christian. When you look at what Jesus required from his disciples or those that wish to follow him, it becomes pretty clear what is required if you wish to be a Christian, or actually if you follow whatever denomination, whatever God you follow, because God is one. you know, there still is that responsibility. And every day, you know, you can read a passage in Holy Writ that will give you an example of what it means to be of service. And it shows itself. And the manifestation of it and what occurs from it is certainly a manifestation of God. There can be no doubt. And God, no man has ever seen God. Only the manifestation of God and his creativity. And so, you know, there is the knowledge, there is the wisdom, but then there's the understanding. And the understanding is the Holy Spirit. And you can't earn it. I don't care what you have done, how good you've been, you know, even the best of the best of the best, you know, cannot earn the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you wish to have them, you have to ask for them. In humbleness, ask for them. In my life, there has not been a day go by that I did not ask for the gifts of the Holy Spirit in humbleness, and that I would do everything in my power to ensure that I utilize them, you know, in the way that Christ would want me to, and that I would not misuse them in a way that was outside of God's law. And every day, didn't matter, every day. And, you know, you don't always realize that you've received them until all of a sudden you have to use them. And then it becomes apparent. You know, we had a car accident on Wednesday, and this past Wednesday. And it was a gentleman who was trying to rush through the stoplight, and he made a hard left to go down a side road just as we were crossing that side road. And, I mean, he slammed into the front end of our vehicle and the side, a little bit of the side, and it totaled the car. And both airbags came out. But I was quick enough to put my hand up, and it stopped the airbag. And not only did it stop it, but it turned it around, and it went back the other way, and it broke the windshield. Now, that's not me. I do not have the power. I have asked experts along the way, you know, about airbags, and some have told me that they come out at 1,000 miles per hour. Now, I don't know. Even 100 miles per hour, to me, would be fast. But it's just like I didn't even think about it. My hand just went up, just like a traffic guard at a traffic stop. And my other arm went over in front of Sandy to protect her from hers, but I could only reach halfway across. And so it did get a part of the side of her left side. But the other half I was able to protect. But to think about stopping an airbag with your hand, just sticking it out there and it stopping it and reversing it and turning it around and shoving it back towards the windshield and cracking and breaking the windshield. That, to me, is the Holy Spirit. That is the only explanation I have for that occurring. You know, God knows what's coming. And, you know, even though I didn't prepare to put my hand out there, and who would have the time between the airbag deploying and you putting your hand out there? So, you know, here you see the beauty and the glory of God. And I think there were malintents that, you know, were working against us and created that traffic accident, you know, mostly because The gentleman was in a huge Durango, black Durango, and when he got out of his truck, you know, I walked over to him, and he had a deer in the headlights look. Like, he says, I didn't see a car there. I never saw a car. And he hit us twice. He backed up and then hit us again. And, you know, that had too many earmarks that there was foul play involved. And so, you know, I didn't give him a hard time at all. What I did do was I rushed around to the other side of the vehicle, and I couldn't get Sandy's door open. And so I rushed back around to the other side of the vehicle where, you know, the passenger side would, because I was the passenger. And I reached in, and I had her lift her legs up over the console, and somebody had gotten into the back seat to hold her head, and I literally lifted her up and lifted her out of the car. I don't know where I got the strength to do that. You know, she's not a big person, but nonetheless, that's a very awkward situation to try and get somebody out. But, you know, nobody else was doing it. None of the police, none of the first responders. Yeah. And, yeah. But yet, how can we say that that's not the Holy Spirit? But to get the gifts of Holy Spirit, you have to ask for them every day of your life. And it is the Father, you know, and the Messiah, our Christ, our Savior, our God, and the blessed Holy Spirit, Shekinah.
Absolutely. You know, Jesus teaches us that giving is not just an act of charity, but an act of worship. When we give to those in need, we are displaying our love for Jesus and honoring him through our actions. I like to share some things from Bruce MacArthur. True giving manifests love, and there are many wonderful ways in which you can give. There are more than 20 fruits of the Spirit that you can manifest. We so often think of giving in financial terms, yet much of what you can contribute is far more personal and therefore more valuable. Love is the giving out of that within self. One of the greatest gifts you can give is a smile. Perhaps that's because a smile can come from all levels of your being. Given from the heart, it carries a spiritual lift. Given from your mind, attuned, it can carry thoughts of love, which carry through to the physical, making your smile a three-way gift of love. Your contribution can be done from any one, two, or all three levels. For example, on a spiritual level, you can give through prayer or the spirit which you hold towards others. On the mental level, you can give thoughts, ideas, support, or encouragement. And on the physical level, you can give your time, effort, or possessions. You know, the purpose of which you give is vital. Warning that giving that with hope of reward or pay is in the opposite direction to this law of love. To truly give in accord with the law of love, the giving must be done without any hint or feeling expressed, manifest, or shown, or desired for reward. To give with such a desire for reward has nothing to do with love that is transforming. It is not the kind of true giving that this law of love requires. To the degree we give for the purpose of personal gain or glory, we have not truly given. We are still holding something to ourselves. So if we seek the exalting of self, then it is not fulfilling its purpose from the spiritual import. God is love. The ideal is true giving with no strings of any sort attached. But we as souls, learning how to love and trying to express our love, often give with strings attached. And that's far better than not giving at all. It's like a baby's first step. Not perfect, but beautiful because of the potential. To the degree you truly and unselfishly give, you bring the transforming power of love to any situation or condition or relationship. In unconditional love, when we give without strings, we're expressing unconditional love. When we love this way, we accept others just as they are, not in spite of what they are. This is the ultimate ideal in love. And while we frequently may fall short of this ideal to the degree that we can achieve it, we release the power of love within us to transform, to heal, and to bring good in all of its form to ourselves and others. The laws of giving will help you to understand better this process. The first of the laws of giving is from the law of cause and effect. As you give, so it is measured to you again. When you apply this law with love, it has far-reaching effects. You can start a cycle of perfection simply by loving others. And as you focus on loving them, You give to them the best that is within you, and they or others begin to feel the potential you've expressed then, and they are inspired to manifest the best that is within them. And as you apply this law by giving with love, because you love, you transform your relationships with others and also those of the world about you. A startling practical example of this love is revealed in this Edgar Cayce comment made to a good cook. The ability to be a good cook arises from those activities under whatever may be the environment, or you have recipes all your own. Keep them and give them away if you would keep them. For remember, you can never lose anything that really belongs to you, and you can't keep that which belongs to someone else. No matter if this is spiritual, mental, or material, the law is the same. The readings say that by giving something to someone else, it becomes your own. How different from the concepts of this materialistic world. Transforming self may seem to be a far cry from cooks and their recipes, but it really isn't. You have talents and abilities and knowledge and experience, and as you add love of self and others to your consciousness, you create the desire in yourself to give and to be helpful and constructive for self and for others. So as you give your talents, abilities, knowledge, and experience, your recipes, in service to others, they really become yours, for only that you give away do you possess. So through true giving, we express our love to others. Each of us, in our own way, is giving our gift, our creation, a part of self, so that others, through us, might have access to and come to realize the transforming power of love. True giving, then, is indeed the way of the Christ. It is a way in which each one of us can follow his example and become more truly gods and goddesses in accord with our soul's purpose. Another law of giving shows that something else is gained by the act of true giving. As you give, you gain an understanding. We have learned that when we start with spirit, there is always an increase. Since you are starting with love, one form of the increase occurs in understanding, because by manifesting love, you bring greater understanding to others. You have sown seeds of understanding, and by the law, as you sow, so shall you reap. Greater understanding will come to you. A teaching that applies to the laws of love is the commandment Jesus gave, which was one of his unique contributions to the world: love one another. He knew that the inherent nature of love is to transform, so his teachings tell us how to put the law of love into action. Edgar Cayce readings leave no doubt that the application of the Beatitudes, like peace, joy, and kindness, provides another way to comply with the laws of love. Great seeds of the spirit, and as spiritual and mental ideals. To live them in your life is to give in the highest way, because they are the aspects of love. And as you adopt any one of them as the attitude by which you live, you'll bring love and its transforming power into your life as well as into the lives of others. And when you begin to apply the fruits of the spirit or begin to give as a result of your love for one another, you not only comply with the laws of love, but you put into effect other laws. It's important that your giving be in accord with other universal laws. For example, how important is it to give only in accord with the laws of self? This doesn't limit your giving, but ensures that you give with equal respect and consideration for self and others. This need for balance was pointed out in Cayce's readings for a mother who was having problems because she was giving too much. In the home and the activities, those relationships, be true to your own self, and you will not be false to any. The law of love is giving, not overtaxing your body or mind, but in patience, for he is mindful of you. Well, the opposite advice was given in a reading for another woman who was concerned with material things and selfish desires. The reading said, let your daily thought and prayer be, Lord, when I pray, let it be for others. Lord, when I go to play, or when I go to do this or that, may the thought ever be for others. He has given you the opportunity that you may remind others of his love. You see, the two readings repeat the extremes to which individuals go in giving, from giving all to giving nothing, from those who are completely self-denying to those who live only for selfish ego self. Both individuals were ignoring the laws of self and demonstrating forms of selfishness. Casey's readings gave advice to each to bring them in accord with the laws of self, and both answers involved bringing love to the situation, one advising more love for self through patience, the other more love for others through giving others time, thought, and effort. Love is the answer, but how you use it and to whom you apply it is critical. You can solve any difficulty in life by applying the power of love to it, for love transforms. Just as you created the situation through the misuse of the universal laws, so you can transform the situation by proper use of the laws, particularly the law of love. You know the law of choice. Life is the experience of your choices. From that law, you know that any difficult situation brings the message that you are at cause and have made choices that aren't in accord with your purpose or the purpose of the universe. You've made such choices as a result of a negative pattern or negative belief within you. So each difficult experience is a wonderful opportunity for self-transformation. It contains and is showing you the pattern that has created the problem so that you can bring love to it. And as you do, love will eliminate the pattern or change the belief, and so transform the aspect of you. The undesirable condition will no longer have reason to exist. So it will be resolved. You can achieve this by a three-step process based on universal laws. Find that message from your situation and find that feeling involving that situation and then bring love to it. If you want to achieve a higher level of awareness and oneness with God, then you need to better understand the universal laws, because when you apply the laws in your daily life, there's another great benefit. The creative forces works with you. Casey quoted in the application of that you know, does there come the knowledge, the understanding of what, of where, of how, the next step, the next activity is to be taken. So as you apply the law, you become the law. As you recognize the universal laws and realize they are a vital part of your life and apply them in accord with the ideals and purposes, you become the law. An interesting excerpt explains how Jesus did it and how we can too. As he applied the law, he made himself equal with the law by becoming the law. And no doubt, no fear, no animosity, no self, but selfless in God's purpose. This overcomes the law as related to all phases of materiality. And thus, to be the law is far more than just complying with the law. It involves making yourself one with the purpose of the universe, which is a selfless purpose. To make the transition from a selfish base to a selflessness requires establishing your purpose and your ideals, utilizing your inner guidance, and applying the laws of self. And as you do this, you can release the fears, the doubts, the animosities of your life because you're eliminating the selfish self, which requires such. So thus, you can become one with the purpose of the universe, which is to say, you have overcome the necessity for the law. You have mastered the law. You have become the law. You are the law. We are urged by Edgar Casey to be the law for some very good reasons. Be rather the law than within the law or conforming to be a law. Be a law. In this, the entity may gain most in the present experience. And in this, may the entity make the life most worthwhile. And in this, may the entity add others more in understanding themselves. You know? Finally, as you become the law, you fulfill the law. And fulfilling any law is the highest way you can, and always a manifestation of love. For the law is love. And love is always the answer, for love transforms. So learn the law, live the law, be the law, and you will fulfill the law, and you will transform your life. This is the work of self-transformation. You see, the universal laws plainly shows us a better way. They give us the keys to transform first ourselves and thereby the world. And I believe they can and will be the keys to transformation of the world. And as we individually learn them, live them, and become them, they are so fundamental to our beings that we sense their rightness, their magnificence, and their potential. Even though at this point we may not fully understand the whole picture, that understanding will become clear for us as we each research and prove the validity of the universal laws by living them. And as we live them, we see our world in a new light. The universal laws are so constituted to always work towards the greater good for the individual and for all. You begin to see that a divine order and purpose exists. You come to see that humankind cannot circumvent that order and purpose, no matter how hard it may try to, or how ignorant or devious it may be. By universal law, even their worst creations eventually bring the lessons for the growth of consciousness of those involved. Since universal laws are the keys to the wonderful divinely ordered world existing all around us and within us, they are the stepping stones to the tremendous opportunities which are ours as we choose to accept that possibility and open our awareness to it. Jesus said it by stating that those who have ears to hear, let them hear, Matthew 13:43. You do not have to have paranormal powers or great knowledge or experience or training. This growth in consciousness is available to each of us here and now as we learn and live and become the law. I believe the universal laws offer a potential to each of us and to the world that eventually all come to understand and live. That is the potential to fulfill our purpose and to bring peace, wholeness, and contentment for all. And as you and I make the universal laws the basis of our lives, and as we learn them, live them, and become them, we can achieve the potential for ourselves. And at the same time, by those results, we become examples and so inspire others to do the same. And by this simple process, we can each become a savior to the world, much as Jesus did during his time on the earth. Thousands of years ago, long before the time of Jesus, this ancient teaching was given. It is as true today as it ever has been. It applies for you and for me here and now. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Psalms 1:1-3. And may you bring forth the fruit of your purpose on earth, that your life shall be a vibrant, healthy, joyous one, and that all you do shall indeed prosper in the highest sense.
You know, Sandy, it's so interesting because, you know, you used a word that you started out with when you started talking about this issue, and it was that it is the law. It is the law of God. And too often, we don't take into account what is actually the law. We think that, you know, that Christ died for our sins and therefore we're good to go. But we forget about God's laws. Even Jesus was asked, have you come to do away with the prophets? And he said, no, I have come to fulfill the prophets, the things the prophets said, the laws that they laid down. And, you know, how often are we even aware of what those laws are? And one of the biggest ones is what you talked about. It's giving of what you receive for the purposes of sharing it. And not with just somebody that lives down the street that makes more than you do, you know, to look good. It's really, you know, when you help pick somebody up that you'd never expect. And I can tell you this. I've had this particular individual that looked like he hadn't washed or shaved or changed clothes in a month. And he would come to me in a parking lot, and he would hand me something. One time he handed me a penny, and I took it from him, and I said, "What's this?" And he said, "I was told that this was for you. I was to give this to you." And I said, "Who told you this?" And he said, "I don't know. I just knew it." He said, "But I've been guaranteed to make sure that as soon as I saw you, to give it to you." And I looked at it, and it confirmed to me something very, very important. And when I showed it to somebody that had worked in the government, they said, "I guarantee you, you could look all over the world, and you'll never find another one of those anywhere." And the confirmations come. They come in ways we would never expect. And yet, that's the whole idea, isn't it? If you don't expect it and it comes, you have to admit that it is a manifestation of God. And, you know, you can sin against man, and the Christ will mediate for you. And, you know, and your sins are forgiven. But if you sin against God, well, who's there to mediate for you? And that's really called the sin against the Holy Spirit. It is unpardonable because the manifestation of its, you know, karmic, we'll say, you know, issue will come at you so fast that you won't have time to even think about what you just did. And so the idea here is it is the third aspect of the Trinity. So it is the understanding. If you have or desire to have the true understanding, not just to read portions of the Bible and go, "I really don't understand that," but have the true understanding. It is within you, and God planted it there so that when you were ready, it would literally come out of yourselves. Read a small portion of the Bible, a small portion, and if you want to know it, the answer to it in the evening, then read it during the day. If you want to know it during the day, read it in the evening. We live in a polarity world. That is the way it works. But it is law. It's not a, "Well, you really should do this," or, "Well, you know, it'd be nice if you could do this." But, you know, if you remember, there was the widow's offering who gave of everything she had. And it was very little, a couple of pence, you know, that she put into the collection plate. And Jesus looked at the Pharisees and he said, "You know, I tell you this, that of all the money that you give, you know, into that collection plate, that woman right there just gave way more than all of you together." Because she did it with humbleness, with a love for God, you know, to show her admiration and to show her humbleness. And do we do that? Is that what we do? You know, in the Bible, there was a woman whose name was Naomi, and she had two sons, and tragically, both sons died. Now, that's a big thing in those days because it was your sons that you relied upon to keep you with food and a place to live and things like that as you grew older. Well, both of them died. They were both married. One of the daughters was Ruth, and Naomi decided to go back to be with where family was and hope that, you know, she could survive. Well, her daughter-in-law, Ruth, refused to leave her. "I will not leave you. I will stay beside you forever." And Naomi said, "But how do you think you'll ever marry again if you stay with me?" She said, "I'm not worried about that. It is my job to take care of you, and I will stay by your side." And the other daughter, well, she couldn't get out of there quick enough. And she left, went on her way, and it was said that she married. What you won't probably read very easily in the actual biblical text is that Ruth ended up marrying Boaz, who was the owner of a lot, many fields. He was wealthy. And he was able to take care of Ruth and Naomi, you know, until their dying days. The other daughter, it was said, married one of the Nephilim. And if you follow Naomi and Ruth, and Ruth and Boaz, they had children. And their children eventually became, well, one of them was, the grandson was Jesse. Jesse was the father of David, King David. Now, look at how everything is connected. You know, one little move, one desire to say, I am here. You know, I will do the what God tells me to do, not what man says I'm supposed to do. And the birth of David became possible. But also, it was said that because the other daughter-in-law had married into the Nephilim, one of her later offspring, probably a grandchild, was that individual who was known as the giant, the one that was a Philistine, Goliath. And isn't it interesting that David would, as a boy, would go out against, in battle, against Goliath. And, you know, it was said that when the pituitary gland becomes so enlarged and so much forward in the forehead that it becomes difficult to see in the peripheral. You can see long distances ahead of you, but in the peripheral. And so somehow David knew that. And it was said that he kept to the sides of Goliath so that Goliath could never get a bead on him. And they didn't want to let David go out there and fight him at first. He convinced them, I have gone up against lions. I've gone up against bears. I mean, you know, let me do this in the name of God. And this small boy goes out there, and he takes a smooth stone, and he puts it in a sling and keeps to the side of Goliath so that, you know, Goliath couldn't hit him with a spear or whatever it may be. And he threw that rock, and it hit Goliath right in the third eye, right in the forehead. And it embedded deep in the forehead. And he fell over dead. And David, you know, went over and took Goliath's sword and removed Goliath's head. Now, isn't it interesting that two daughters-in-law from the same woman who had lost their husbands, one who remained faithful and in service, and the other, you know, went for all she could get, especially to one of the Nephilim. And it comes back together, you know, and it shows the glory of God all along the way. You know, we're going to have to end this week's radio show, but we want you to listen to all of our shows. Go back and listen to the archived shows, if you would. If you have questions about anything we do, and we do a lot, a whole lot. We are a church, and we do a lot. So if you'd like to be a member, it's no charge, and we can keep you updated on things we're doing, give us a call at 304-567-3354 or sandysangeltalk@aol.com. And we will be more than happy to answer any questions you have about service. Without service, you'll never make it across the river.
We want to thank all of you for joining our radio show, Angel Talk, today, and we hope that you will join us again in 2 weeks. God bless.
Glory be to God.